Paul Rasmussen, each and every day, new wrinkles to social media, so many challenges. And if you're a parent, what do you do? Or if you're a grandparent, most kids spend hours online every day, and parents naturally are worried, who are the kids talking to and what are they doing? There are some new tools from Roblox to make online play safer, and nearly 9 in 10 parents are concerned about this issue. And joining us, Senior Director of Product Policy with Roblox, Eliza Jacobs. Good morning. Welcome to KDK.
Good morning. Thanks so much for having me.
So all ears are on you right now. It's like, okay, give us some tools because, frankly, as you know, a lot of parents just don't know what to do or how to do it.
Yes, we understand and we talk to parents all the time about what they need and what would be helpful to them. And we know parents are overwhelmed. There are so many platforms and so many settings and choices. And so our goal is to launch things that are helpful to them and that are simple to use. And so today we're launching a suite of new tools. First and foremost, we're launching spatial age estimation because we learned that parents are really concerned about who their kids are talking to and how old those people are. So we're launching spatial age estimation that for users 13 and up. And if you go through this process and we can verify your age, you'll then have access to what we're calling trusted connections. And trusted connections is meant to be a new layer of connections on the platform. And this is for people that you know in real life. These are your friends from school, your friends from camp, your friends from soccer. And the way that you'll make these connections is that you'll either use a QR code that you're scanning in real life, or you're using your phone contacts to prove that you know these people in the real world. So we're combining facial age estimation and trusted connections to give kids access to freer communication on the platform with each other while keeping everybody else safe by default in other spaces.
So this would help them tell when they're getting a communication of some type from someone they know, as opposed to an inquiry that's anonymous on like a social media platform.
Exactly, that's right. So we'll have two layers. We're changing the name of friends on the platform to connections, and there will be regular connections, which might just be people you're playing with on the platform, where you'll have more limited conversations that will all be filtered and monitored and all of that. And then trusted connections are, as I said, your friends in real life, where you'll be able to, if you are both age estimated and we know that you know each other in the real world, you'll be able to talk to each other more freely.
All right, Eliza, let's step back again because I want to make sure parents get this. If they know nothing about social media except the kids are online doing who knows what, where do they start to make this and implement this as part of what they can monitor and help the kids be safe?
Sure. So we really recommend that parents download Roblox and sign up for their own account, because once you do that, you can connect your account to your child's account. And today we're launching additional visibility for parents of teens, so 13 and up, to be able to see things like screen time and spending on the platform. And for our younger users, we have a full suite of parental controls once you connect your account to your kid's account. You can also go to roblox.com/safetycenter, and that will give you an overview of all of these controls and all of these tools that you'll be able to read and understand before you sign up. But we encourage parents to create their own account as a way of connecting to their kid's account, and then we're just going to give you really easy and simple-to-use insights into what your kids are doing on the platform.
Eliza Jacobs, Senior Director, Product Policy, Roblox, thank you. Great effort at launching today. Appreciate the time.
Thank you so much.
All right. So as you know, Paul, there's so many things coming at parents and grandparents when it comes to this world. How do you keep your kids safe? They spend so much time online and on social media.
No small amount of effort needs to be expended in convincing them to use like the handy tool like the one we just heard about. And my mind goes back here to a recent story this week in which a father was checking his daughter's cell phone out and found out that she'd been having what they say were sexual relations with a teacher at Cannon McMillan High School when she was a student there. Tens of thousands of different email and text exchanges over a period of time.
Which that would not have happened had the father not taken a look. Don't be afraid.
Right.
Even though the kids are going to push back, don't you trust me? All those things I do, but I don't trust everybody around you.
There you go.
So want to mention the passing of really a hometown hero, James Vincent Roberto, who passed Tuesday at the age of 102, who was from the greatest generation and served us in World War II in the United States Navy aboard the USS Minneapolis. I just met Mr. Roberto at Rocky Blyer's roll call for the greatest generation in June. Dr. Terry Sweeker-Reed put this incredible event together from Phase 4 Learning Center, and I got to meet him at the World War II Memorial first, right there with people don't know. They walk past, it's on the river near Acrisure Stadium. And he was, if you can imagine, going through that time period and then all these years later and being recognized by generals and the people in that room lifted his spirits to the point where he told Dr. Terry, "This is the greatest day of my life."
Oh, that's wonderful.
And so for his family, so devastating, no matter how old your parents are, when they pass, it's a gut punch.
Mm-hmm.
And especially for someone like Mr. Roberto, Hampton Township, James Vincent Roberto, introduced to us by Tom Rooney, who 3 years ago, they had a mentorship program for seniors, spending time with seniors. And what a great program that is, because they do have something to say and share. So important. So thinking of his family, James Vincent Roberto, hometown hero. Stop me up! Every Thursday at this time, we check in with Pittsburgh Magazine's food editor, Christy Graver, who you can see on the radio on our online option, kdkradio.com, streaming there, courtesy of Metropolitan Window Company and our new KDK Radio YouTube page. So, Christy, even since you've been with us, we're expanding your horizons, too. Good morning.
Wow. Thank you. I appreciate that, I think.
You were on vacation last week. Where did you go? What did you do?
I went to my balcony. Spotted lanternflies. They kept landing in my beer, so it's too hot to even go outside. So I don't know. It was pretty mundane.
Just chilling. Well, sometimes that's good enough.
It was cool.
All right, so let's talk about the human chili dog episode with you involved. What in the world are you doing?
So I am part of the condiment crew for Shoe Brew. It is a brewery in Zillianople. I grew up in Cranberry, so I have an affinity to Zillianople. I love it very much. And their parades are just great. I've been going to the parades forever. So I am the chili dog in this four hot dog crew. And we marched through the streets of Zilli on July 4th in the parade. And this Saturday, I am going to be at Horse Trading Days, again, dressed like a giant hot dog. And we'll be passing out dogs and beers and all that kind of stuff. And there is a hot dog eating contest. So you could apply to be in that and I'll be there cheering you on. I'm racing in some kind of race. I have to actually run.
It's
so
funny
if you want to see
that.
Something laugh.
Horse Trading Days in Zilli is a big, big weekend.
61 years, which is crazy. So it's a really fun time. So
I never knew
come
you
and
were.
See, even if you just come to see me get embarrassed.
I never knew you were a mascot. That's pretty cool. You know, they're having some mascot race today, by the way, at another event. But
it's way too hot. That's
My gosh. It's going to be 88 today, unless you have AC in the suit. Speaking of hot and the moisture that we have had this year from spring through now has proliferated mosquitoes. And there's an alert in Western Pennsylvania, particularly in Allegheny County.
Mosquitoes infected with West Nile virus have been found in 6 Pittsburgh neighborhoods. That's Wilkinsburg, Schenley Park, Mount Washington, Beltover, Mount Oliver, and Hazelwood have tested positive for the virus. And so we have some tips on our website to help you stay safe and kind of, you know, quell their breeding grounds. So check it out. Or just don't go outside.
The only upside I've seen when it comes to bugs is the return of the firefly. Have you noticed this? For a while, they disappeared.
Well, yes, and I have. That's the only, it's the state bug, state insect, and it's the only one I like.
Yes, and the only one I choose not to eliminate. All right, the history of the banana split. And I love this, and other surprising banana moments. You know, we'd love to be first, and we have so many firsts in this town, like KDKA's, the world's first commercial radio station. But the banana split, a lot of people might not know, emanates from nearby.
It does. Latrobe, PA, is the birthplace of the banana splits. Other towns have laid claim to this, but we have the official marker up there in Latrobe. So go see that for the Banana Split Festival, August 23rd through 24th. I went with my daughter last year. It's a blast. I mean, you have so much fun. You could take your picture by the giant banana split statue. It's a really interesting, and Latrobe is just a really great town. So go have banana splits and explore Mr. Rogers' neighborhood.
Speaking of which, the Steelers players report next Wednesday to Latrobe at St. Vincent College. And then a week from today is the first of the public opportunities to get tickets. By the way, they're free, but you got to go online to do that at Steelers.com.
All the more reason to go. So check it out.
Let's talk about other Pittsburgh destinations, family places to go. We still have enough summer left. A lot of people are looking for something to do. What do you recommend?
Yes. So my coworker, Jess Senechek, she is the mom of two girls. She wrote a story about three family things to do in Pittsburgh, including visiting Hadari. This is the young male pygmy hippo at the Pittsburgh Zoo and Aquarium. If you haven't been to One Wild Place in a while, construction is happening on a new $5.5 million entrance and ticketing area to replace the 30-year-old space to make it more guest-friendly and ADA accessible, because you know that big escalator and everything. I actually kind of like that. I like the thrill of that scary escalator. But so there's like a new process you have to go in. So check out her story and you'll see that and some other fun things the whole family can enjoy.
Well, good luck at horse trading days this weekend.
I'll need it.
Giant hot dog. And
what's the weather? I don't know. I haven't even checked.
When are you going to be suited up?
Saturday, like around noon.
84 is the high. So wear your antiperspirant.
Okay. Well, I might see you next week.
All right. Thanks, Christy.
Thank you, Larry.
Read all about it. Christy Graber, food editor with Pittsburgh Magazine. You know, a lot of people, Aaron, are trying to get away from the heat by going to the movies. I heard several people say, I haven't been a movie in a long time. And you know what's attracting them? The new Jurassic Park films, one, and then the new Superman film.
It's
been a big hit. The director, James Gunn, told CBS Mornings it was a deliberate choice to change the vibe for Superman. He says he wanted a more human Man of Steel because it makes for a better starting point to build a universe of characters instead of having one superhero who seems to be invincible. James also hopes people can appreciate just as much the Superman values and what he values in life, even when it comes to Lex Luthor and that compassion he constantly shows people.
How much better would the world be if we showed compassion to the people that we disagree with? And what has the internet sort of created in us that it's making us fight people all the time? And so how do we communicate with each other and show kindness to each other, no matter what our beliefs are? If Superman can show Lex Luthor kindness, the guy who wants nothing more than to kill him, why can't we do it to a neighbor who has a different set of political beliefs than we do?
I didn't realize it was that deep.
Me neither, but I love that he raised that question because people get so riled up.
Yeah, you think? You don't have to go far. Yes. Have you seen it? Yeah. Do you want to see it?
I do want to see it. I haven't seen it yet.
Well, it's a good place to go in an air conditioned, get some popcorn, just chill. Forget about life for a while. And coming up 10 until 2, Marty Griffin takes the air chair. We'll check in with Marty in just a few minutes. And yesterday, Aaron, as you know, after our show, we sit down and kind of debrief and talk about the next day. And Doug Whaley's name came up because he has experienced something a lot of people will in the future, but he's doing it now. And I said, is this actually happening now? And then you sent the video. And Doug, by the way, Upper St. Clair grad, former general manager of the Buffalo Bills in the National Football League, and right now he's the de facto general manager of Pitt's football program. Doug, good morning.
Morning, Larry. Did I hear there's sunshine in Pittsburgh? What is going on? Wait a minute. Is the apocalypse coming?
I know. We're just going to hold on to that while we can. But Doug, you sent a video as a passenger in an autonomous vehicle, and I want to know where this is happening, and you love this experience. That's what I hear.
Larry, not only do I, first of all, thanks for having me on, and hello to all your listening audience. And my folks live in Phoenix, and I've been coming out here since 95, 96. So long and short, the last year or two, I've been seeing these autonomous vehicles, Waymo, rideshare offered. And I've actually I'm about six rides into it. And my first ride was I was taking a red eye home from Phoenix back to Pittsburgh. And the surge prices for Uber and Lyft were just astronomical. So I said, hey, let me check out Waymo. And I scheduled a ride. First of all, it was about a third of the price. Scheduled a ride, and my first experience was a little nerve-wracking because it just like an Uber or Lyft, you schedule the ride that comes, picks you up, and the car pulls up and it has your initials on. So you walk up to the car, and I really didn't read how to enter the car and the steps, but I thought it was just going to be self-explanatory. You know, I didn't know. So I'm walking around, and it says, all right, the car will wait 5 minutes, and I'm looking for the door handles to open the door. There's nothing going on. So there's like 2 minutes left. I call the customer service and they're like, well, just scroll up on your phone and it says unlock doors or open the hatch. So it is very easy to use. You look on the app, you unlock the door, you get in the car. When you sit down, it gives about a 15-minute verbal tutorial about how to start the ride. If anything happens on the ride, what buttons to push on the middle console in the back, how to unlock the doors, or how to push the button for it to pull over. So I get in, buckle up, listen to this, and just hit start for the ride. And I'll tell you, Larry, every traffic law possible, the car obeyed. It actually put on turn signals. It knew when to merge. It when to stop. Now, the thing that I will say that it, which gives me comfort and will should give people comfort that are going to try it, is it maps out the route that has the least amount of traffic. So when I was doing the red eye, it was like at 10 o'clock at night, it went on the highway because it wasn't traffic. When I came back with my family, I took my family, 11-year-old, 2-year-old, and my wife, put them in there, and we took the surface roads because it was during the day from the airport to my parents' house. So that's one of the things that I think gives a lot of comfort to me. It's not going to be in a really congested area or route. So there's not a lot of things that can pop up that may cause harm.
And as you know, Doug, they've been experimenting with autonomous vehicles in the Pittsburgh area for years and years because of the challenges with the hills and turns and bridges. But out in Arizona, I didn't realize this was commercially operational. I didn't know that.
I think they operate not only in Phoenix, I think they're also in the Bay Area and L.A. So they are up and running. And the one thing, too, Larry, that not only the prices are usually lower than Uber and Lyft, but when you're calculating not having to tip a driver, you're even on a high Waymo ride, you're probably at least 5 to 10% less than Uber or Lyft.
And you say you've done this 5-6 times and you're real comfortable with it now, and you would prefer it to any other way.
I do, because when you get in the car, usually I'm coming off a 4 or 5.5 hour plane ride, so I can get in the car, I can talk and say whatever I want to whoever I want and not have to worry about somebody listening to my conversation, judging my conversation, or trying to figure out who I am and what I'm talking about. So that is very nice. The only drawback I will say is the max you can ride is, well, for adults, but it's limited cargo room. The trunk is not that big, so if you have a lot of luggage, it's not an option for you.
Well, that is absolutely fascinating. Aaron, would you take an autonomous, they call it it's Uber, Waymo, or what do you call it?
Waymo. It's just like an Uber. You say it's Waymo, and everybody knows it's autonomous, and it's, like I said, it's the wave of the future, but I feel completely comfortable, and because I'm a private pilot, I understand that when you're flying, you're flying really autonomous vehicles. All the pilots do are take off and land. So if you trust planes, which some people don't, I do very much so, it's going this way. So you better get comfortable.
Aaron, would you do it?
I think right now I have a big smile on my face because I'm still extremely, it just freaks me out. But what you said, Doug, about having like the privacy is appealing. You can talk to whoever about whatever. Yeah.
Oh, and the best thing, and I wish I would have had my camera out. I was driving to the airport and we passed an accident with two people that were driving and I'm in a Waymo. And I said, this would have been a perfect commercial for Waymo.
Yeah. I mean, the safety factor, but I know a lot of people would be anxious with hands off the wheel and nobody behind it. But I didn't know this was actually happening, so appreciate you taking some time, Doug. By the way, while we got you, how's Pitt football going to be?
I think it's going to be – I think we're positioning ourselves very well. Last year, obviously, before the injuries, we showed that we could compete with anybody going 6-0. What happened once we had a couple injuries, the level of expectation dipped a little bit. So what we concentrated on this year, this offseason, is really beefing up our depth, especially off the offensive line and the wide receiver room. We got a stud core of linebackers coming back, defensive linemen. We added a couple corners. So we're excited not only about our front line players like Eli Holstein and Kenny Johnson, but the guys that we brought in. So if we have injuries, which we all know injuries are part of the game in football, our level expectation will not dip.
Well, with you helping, your brilliant football mind, appreciate it. And thanks for sharing about the autonomous driving, too. We'll see you back in the Berg.
We'll see you back in the Berg soon. Thanks for having me. Take care. Right.
Doug Whaley, he was the general manager of Buffalo Bills, very successful. He also spent time as the senior vice president player personnel for the XFL and Upper St. Clair grad, and now kind of the de facto GM of Pitt football.
It's amazing.
He's a great guy. Yeah, I didn't know he was a pilot, too.
Right. He said that so casually. I'm like, wait a minute.
We should come up with a segment, What I Learned on the Big Ten Morning Show.
Yep, every day.
Very large.